The hot July sun was setting low in the west and gave the waters of Chesapeake Bay a warm red glow. The water was murky, and as my body broke the surface in a dive, its cold cleanness touched my skin. In a jumble of actions and feelings, many things then happened all at once. I felt my head strike something hard. At the same time, clumsily, crazily, my body sprawled out of control, and before I knew it, I was lying face down on the bottom. Where? How did I get here? Why are my arms tied to my chest? My thoughts screamed. Then, Johnny. My sister, Kathy, was crying my name. Muffled through the waters, it sounded far off. Now it was closer. Johnny, are you all right? Johnny, are you looking for shells? Did you dive in here? It's so shallow. I heard Kathy clearly now. I felt Kathy's arms around my shoulders lifting. Kathy struggled, stumbled, then lifted again. My head broke the water's surface. I blinked to clear my mind and dissolve the confusion. It didn't seem to work. I saw my arm slung lifelessly over Kathy's shoulder, yet I still felt that it was tied to my chest. I looked down at my chest. My arms were not tied. I realized with a growing horror that my limbs were dangling motionlessly. I couldn't move them. What do you do when you feel the pain of living in a broken world? Our world is broken on every level, whether it's us as individuals, our families, communities, whole countries. Whoever we are, we all know what it feels like to live in a world that's not as it should be. And on the 30th July, 1967, Johnny Erickson Tada felt that too. Johnny was out at the seaside with her sister, Kathy. She dived into the water and misjudged how deep it was. At only 17, she fractured her neck, paralyzing her from the shoulder down. And over the next 2 years of rehabilitation, Johnny experienced anger, depression, doubts, and even thoughts of suicide itself. So let me ask you again, what do you do when you feel the pain of living in a broken world? Well, as we look at Luke this morning, Luke's going to show us two things that we should remember when we feel the pain of living in a broken world. And here's the first one. When we live in the pain of a broken world, we should be sure of God's promises. When you feel the pain of a broken world, be sure of God's promises. We're picking up this morning in our series in Luke at Luke chapter 4 verse 14. If you've got a Bible, do please grab it, open it up to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. If you haven't, look it up on a device or Google it at home. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. We pick up this morning at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's beaten the temptation of the devil in the wilderness. And now Jesus starts his ministry by teaching in and around the region of Galilee in Israel. And this teaching that Jesus was doing, it got a big reaction. People started praising him. What was all the fuss about? Why did Jesus' teaching bring up such a big reaction? Well, that's what Luke shows us in the rest of this morning's passage. Verse 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went in the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. As Jesus is teaching in and around Galilee, he eventually comes to his hometown of Nazareth. And as Jesus normally did on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, and no doubt because of Jesus' growing reputation, he was invited to teach. Jesus got up. He was handed the scroll of the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. And of all the places in the book of Isaiah that Jesus could have read from, he chose to read from near the end. He chose to read from near the end, where God, through Isaiah, promised his people he would rescue them from the pain of a broken world. Verse 17. Unrolling it, Jesus found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, it's worth saying that when Jesus read from Isaiah, in all likelihood, he read from more than these verses. But the bit from Isaiah that Jesus did read from did include these verses. And Luke highlights them for us because they're important to Jesus' message. And if you were an Israelite, an ordinary Israelite in a reasonably ordinary place like Nazareth, what important verses these were. Because in them, God promised that he would bring rescue to four types of people. First of all, there was the poor. Jesus here, is, as he's reading, he's talking about the underprivileged, the overlooked, those that don't have much money. And Jesus talks about a day when one day God would send a messenger who would bring good news to them. Instead of anxiety, instead of them having to be scared, God promised a day when the poor would receive good news that they could celebrate about. They could laugh. They could experience joy. Lasting joy. I wonder how many of us here this morning long for a day like that. I wonder how many of us are fed up of the bad news of debts that we struggle to pay. I wonder how many of us are fed up of the bad news of job cuts at work. I wonder how many of us are fed up of the bad news of having to move across the city because the council has reallocated our housing. No, the poor will one day receive not bad news like that, but good news. Good news that their welfare is secure. Good news that their ultimate debts have been paid. Good news that their home is guaranteed. And that's what God promised in the book of Isaiah. First there was the poor, then there was the prisoners. As Jesus was reading here, he would have meant much more than those that are just locked up behind bars. I can tell you in a small rural place like Galilee, there wouldn't have been many like that. But here Jesus is talking about all those that suffer cravings, all those that suffer addictions. It might be the battle with drink or cigarettes. It might be just that pull within us to just buy another car or want to buy more shoes. It might be the struggle each day just to put our phone down, to put down the games controller. If we're honest with ourselves, if we're really honest with ourselves, who here doesn't struggle with things like that? Whoever we are, to one degree or another, we all experience cravings and addictions. And one day, through Isaiah, God promised a person would come to free us from all of that and more. There was the poor, the imprisoned. Then there was the blind. Anyone who has never ever known someone who's lost their sight know how sad blindness can be. And if it's sad in a place like 21st century Britain with a national health service and growing awareness around disability, well, you can bet it was sad in first century Israel. Because to lose your sight in first century Israel wasn't just to lose your sight. And I mean, I don't mean just. But it would have meant to almost certainly lose your income, probably lose your family, some of your friends, maybe even lose your dignity, your respect. But here's the thing. Here's the shocking thing. When Jesus talked about those who are blind, he wasn't just talking about those who had lost their physical sight. He was also talking about those who had lost their spiritual sight as well. He's talking about those who can only see the darkness of this broken world. He's talking about those who haven't seen God, haven't seen their need for him. He's talking about those who haven't seen the light and hope of God's kingdom breaking in. I wonder if there's anyone like that here this morning. Sure, your physical sight might be great. But maybe, just maybe, for the first time this morning, you're realizing that you can't see the deeper meaning of things. Well, if that's you, don't miss the promises of Isaiah. That one day God would send a messenger so powerful that his message would not just heal those with physical sight, but he would also heal those with spiritual blindness as well. Through Isaiah, God promised a message for the poor, for the imprisoned, for the blind, and finally, for the oppressed. That means anybody who's just been crushed and knocked by the hard things in life. It means those who know the pain of illness, disability, miscarriage. It means those who have seen the destruction in friends' lives, of their lives being ripped apart by drug abuse. It means those who have experienced the prejudice of year after year, decade after decade, being treated differently because your skin is a different tone to other people's. I wonder how many of us here would call ourselves people like that. I wonder how many people in our local community have had their lives victimized by evil like that. I wonder how many of us who, like Johnny Erickson Tada, wake up each morning and feel the pain of living in a broken world. Well, if that's you, don't forget what Luke is showing us here. Number one, when we feel the pain of a broken world, be sure of God's promises. When you feel the pain of a broken world, be sure of God's promises. If there was ever a moment where we feel the pain of living in a broken world, it's now, right? With the worldwide death toll from coronavirus now over 1 million people, and many countries now struggling to control a second and third wave outbreaks, well, we can be certain that our world is not as it should be. So who do we look to? Who do we look to when we feel the pain of a broken world? Well, for some of us, we look to politicians. We've had daily briefings. We've had special regulations. Now we've got the political party conferences. Surely they can sort our problems out. But then we see MPs not following their own social distancing guidelines. We see the parliament wanting to keep their pubs and bars open later, but close everybody else's. And we start to see that politicians, like us all, well, they've got flaws of their own. So maybe they can't sort out the world's problems. Well, if it's not politicians, what about scientists then? During the pandemic, many scientists around the world have been working around the clock to come up with a vaccine. But here we are now, even kind of 7-8 months in, and many scientists, although progress has been made, are saying that we're still some time away. And if and when they do discover a virus, it's going to take months, if not years, to get it into the system of everyone who needs it. So maybe, like us all, scientists have their limits too. So if not politicians and scientists, maybe teachers then. Surely if we just stand back and think about the future, education, knowledge, that's what we all need more of. Teachers have been doing a great job of teaching many of our children through the lockdown. But now we're coming up to half term, and head teachers are saying that they're near breaking point, as they've had to deal with change after change of government guidance and policy. So maybe it's not fair to put the whole world's problems on head teachers' shoulders either. Politicians, scientists, teachers, like shop assistants, carers, bin workers, policemen, they've all done a great job at this important time. But as good as they may be, they can't fix a broken world. So who are we to look to then? Are we just to give up? Well, before you do that, have a look down with me to verse 20 of Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. After Jesus finished this reading from some of these chapters late on in Isaiah, he handed the scroll back to the person that looked after it and sat down at the front of the congregation, a bit like a chair sat here. And everybody's eyes in the room was on him. Everyone in the room knew how important these verses were. Everyone in the room had heard them before. And everyone in the room would have heard Jesus' reputation as this new teacher. So what on earth was he about to say to them? Well, the next 8 words out of Jesus' mouth were words that no one would have ever expected. Verse 21. Jesus began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying that he is the one that Isaiah talked about all those years ago. He is the one that the Spirit of the Lord has been put upon. He is the one that has come to bring freedom to his people who live in a broken world. When we feel the pain of a broken world, be sure of God's promises because they are fulfilled in Jesus today. Jesus is saying that the hope that many put in politicians, scientists, teachers, whoever, we should ultimately put that hope in him. When we feel the pain of a broken world, be sure of God's promises because they are fulfilled in Jesus today. That may seem crazy to you, but that is the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And as I finish, let me just highlight 4 things it means for us today. Number 1, Jesus has come for us in our poverty. As you go on and read through Luke's gospel, it's amazing to see Jesus' priority for the poor. That doesn't mean that Jesus only came for the poor, but it does mean that those who have the greatest need sense their need for God the greatest. Those who have the most need do sense the most their need for God. We see that in Luke's gospel. We see that around the world today. But even if you aren't short of money this morning, don't miss Jesus' message. Because before God, we are all poor. Before God, the only thing we bring is the crushing weight of our sin. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, he offers us welfare that is guaranteed. He offers us the forgiveness of our biggest debt. He offers us a home which will never pass away. Jesus comes to us in our poverty. Secondly, Jesus comes to us in our imprisonment. So many in our community struggle with addictions and cravings of drink, of smoking, of drugs. But if we're honest with ourselves, truly honest with us, who here isn't addicted or craved in one way to something? It might be the daily shot of caffeine, the daily session on Netflix, those comments on Facebook or whatever. Whoever we are, to one degree or another, we all have an addiction. We all have a craving. And Jesus has come to free us from all of that. By his death, our sins are paid. By his resurrection, the power is defeated. By his ascension, he has poured out his spirit into the heart of his children so that they might resist temptation. Jesus has come to us in our poverty. He's come to us in our imprisonment. Thirdly, he's come to us in our blindness. Whoever has seen someone lose their sight knows how sad blindness can be. But did you know? The story of blind believers down the centuries is that even more precious to them than physical sight is seeing Jesus by faith. And we see that in Luke chapter 18. We'll go on through our series in Luke's gospel. It might take us a few years to get there, but when we get to Luke chapter 18, we will read about how Jesus was once walking to the ancient city of Jericho. He was on the road there, and he passed by a blind man who was sat by the side of the road begging. He called out to Jesus, and in verse 41, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," the blind beggar replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately his sight was healed and he followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Do you see, even more important than this blind man's physical sight was that he had seen Jesus. When he received his physical sight, what did he do? He praised God and he followed Jesus. He dedicated his life to him. This morning, you might have 20/20 vision. But could it be that you haven't seen the deeper meaning of things? Well, don't miss Jesus' message, because Jesus is telling us that he is the one that Isaiah talked about. He is the one with a message so powerful that as he preached it, physical sight was restored. And we can know that he can heal our spiritual blindness too. Jesus comes to us in our poverty. He comes to us in our imprisonment. He comes to us in our blindness. And fourthly and finally, he comes to us in our oppression. Oppression of anxiety. Oppression of Alzheimer's. Oppression of criticism. Oppression of cancer. Oppression of prejudice. Oppression of prejudice of being paralyzed from the shoulders down. On the 5th of October 2005, Johnny Erickson Tada sat in a wheelchair before a room full of people. A room like this. And as Johnny talked about that fateful day on the 30th of July, 1967, and she talked about all that she had learned since, do you know what she said? She said these words. Don't miss these words. One day I'm going to leave this wheelchair behind. I cannot wait. I may have suffered with Christ on earth, but one day in heaven I'm going to reign with him. I may have tasted the pains of living on this planet, but one day I'm going to eat from the tree of life in the pleasure of heaven, and it's all going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus has given Johnny freedom. Even in the midst of her suffering, even in the midst of her oppression, God's promises in Jesus mean that Joni today has received a freedom that no one can ever, ever take away. So let me ask you one last time. Do you feel the pain of living in a broken world? Well, if you do, be sure of God's promises, because they're fulfilled in Jesus today. Let's just take a moment as we think about what God has shown us this morning, and then I'll pray to end our service. Father God, no one needs to teach us about the pain of living in a broken world. We think of disease, disability, miscarriage. Lord, we think of drug addiction, smoking, drink. Lord, we think of prejudice, racism, and being paralyzed from the shoulders down. Lord, we thank you for Johnny Erickson Tada. We thank you for what you have showed her in her life. Thank you, Lord, for giving her sight, physical but also spiritual sight, so she might look forward to that taste of heaven. And Lord, we do pray that you would open our blind eyes, a blindness which lifts our eyes from the darkness of this broken world and helps us see Jesus. Jesus, who comes to us in our poverty, our imprisonment, our blindness, and our oppression. In his name we pray. Amen.